Baruchem Abayim to the eighth and continuing series of Shiurim on the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah. Last time we concluded, we saw that there was a fundamental dispute between the Gra, the Goyin, and the Ari regarding the generation of spirituality, which is usually referred in the Kabbalah's Zivug, that which was, in other words, the continual generation of spirituality for the Ari was actually considered to be on a lower spiritual level, and that when man does a mitzvah, he generates a spirituality on a higher level. And that was the Ari. So, therefore, the continual perpetuation of creation is, in fact, actually a generation which is continual, but it's on a lower level. It keeps the world on the burner. But when a person does a mitzvah, so therefore, because of that, he generates a higher level of spirituality, and that's when a person does any mitzvah, and according to the Ri, that happens only from time to time. But that generates a zivug, a generation of spirituality on a higher level. That was the shita of the Ari. The Gra actually took the opposite point of view. When a person does a mitzvah, any mitzvah, and mitzvahs are not done continually, they're done from time to time, that generates spirituality on a lower level. However, according to the Gra, is a continual generation of spirituality. We refer to that as the combination of wisdom, wisdom and understanding, chachma and bina, and that occurs continually, and that of course generates spiritually on a higher level. That was the way we concluded last week's shiur, meaning that according to the Ari, becoming is higher than being. And according to the Gra, being is higher than becoming. That was another consequence of what we spoke about last week. I would like to raise a fundamental question. And the fundamental question is as such. When we speak about a continual generation of spirituality, so we can understand that that is something which that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, keeps the world perpetually going. In other words, it's referred to as katnus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu generates the world to keep it going at a minimal level, and then man, when he performs a mitzvah, so he generates spirituality. And therefore, he raises things to a higher spiritual level. That's when a person does a mitzvah. The Ari makes a lot of sense. However, according to the Gra, when a person does a mitzvah from time to time, mitzvahs are not done continually, then we said that's on a lower spiritual level. The higher level is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the generation of spirituality, which comes as a result of the union of wisdom and understanding. So that's on a higher level. The question I want to ask is, why should that be? In other words, if we're speaking about Torah, wisdom, wisdom is something which is ascertained. The purpose of wisdom is to be ascertained by man. If we're speaking about the natural world, or even the natural spiritual world, so we understand that that's a part of creation dependent on man. But wisdom is something which is ascertained by man's intellect. Man is not learning Torah the entire time. Why should the being of wisdom be on the higher spiritual level? In other words, when we're speaking about the wisdom which is generated on a higher spiritual level, what makes wisdom is only when man ascertains it. In other words, the nature, the world runs without man. That we understand. And we understand that based upon a a simple understanding of Hashkafa, Hamachaz Shetugachayim Tomei Ma'is Vereishis, all of nature, which man does not, in which, you know, which forms a background for man, so that has to be continual. But wisdom, right, should be connected with man's apprehension of wisdom. Man does not learn Torah all the time, right? Man learns Torah just like there's a myth. But why should wisdom be on a higher level? What's the purpose of being on a higher level? If there's no reason why the world should generate, there should be a generation of wisdom on a higher level, if man is only privy, in other words, what we're saying is we're not giving any importance to man's acquisition of wisdom. To say that wisdom is on a higher level has nothing to do with man. So why is it relevant? In other words, if I say that the world is continually generated, that's on a lower level, that forms the background for man, and then man does the mitzvah, brings the world to a higher level. But if the higher level of the world is wisdom, there's no connection to man. So therefore, why is this considered to be on a higher level? There's no connection to man. It's wisdom. Kadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom is a one-time thing. What do we mean by the continual generation of wisdom? Right? In other words, nature is generated continually.
It's just like a wisdom that's...
What wisdom is there? But why has to be generated continually? There's one wisdom. There's not a new wisdom every single day. I mean, God's wisdom is one. God's wisdom is a one-time wisdom. In other words, in nature, which is a physical thing, I can say Kadosh Baruch Hu is Bechadesh, the Bria, in every single second. That has a concept of continuity. But wisdom, there's one wisdom that's etched in history, Matan Torah. That's it. Who needs wisdom to be generated at every second of reality? That's my question. Now, there's an obvious answer. What's the obvious answer? The obvious answer is that Kodesh Baruch Hu is learning Torah. In other words, the obvious answer is that if we're saying that there's a continual generation of wisdom, continuously, at every time, we're calling that the conjunction of wisdom and understanding, this continual generation of spiritual wisdom, and that continual generation of wisdom refers to an activity. So we have to say that God is learning Torah all the time and continually generating wisdom. That's what we have to say. Now, it's very interesting to say this, because if we do say this, we have certainly Mekayas and the sources of this, both in Chazal, in the Gemara, and actually we have actually sources for this actually in medieval Jewish philosophy, most notably in the Rambam, Maimonides. So for example, let's go to Chazal first, that's always safer. In the Gemara in Gittin, Vav Amud Beis, this is a famous, Gemara speaks about two Marayim who are arguing on understanding a pasuk in Plagish Megiva. One of them, for some reason, takes a break or bumps into Eliyahu HaNavi, asks Eliyahu HaNavi, what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing? He says he's learning Torah. Okay? Now, before we get to the next stage of that Gemara, I mean, we see that Kodesh Baruch Hu is learning Torah. That means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is continually generating wisdom. Now, what's the source for this in the in medieval Jewish philosophy? The Rambam. The Rambam, when people learn the Rambam, not only people learn the Rambam, but HashkafaCircle.com learns the Mir and Nevuchim on creation. So we began with section 2, chapter 13 of section 2, in which the Rambam speaks about the different opinions on creation, of creation ex nihilo, eternity, Aristotelian, Platonic. But I don't think we spoke about, or might have referred to it, but naturally, in section 2, chapter 12, Maimonides, the Rambam, asks a very fundamental question. The question is, how can we say that God created the world? Creation is an act, right? Creation is an act, like any other act. And since the Rambam's negative theology rejects the notion of a positive act to Kodesh Baruch Hu, just like Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no act of God that you can speak about God, given the fact that we can't speak about Him. So, I mean, certainly we can't say creation is also a human act. The Rambam's answer to this is that creation is not actually a positive act of God, but comes as a result of God's thinking. In other words, the Rambam understood that, and Rambam actually gives an example of you throw against a pebble in a puddle and the ripples expand around the where the pebble was, you know, was thrown in the water. So too, the Rambam says HaKadosh Baruch Hu contemplates, he thinks. You want to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks, because it's not a physical activity. Somehow that doesn't deny or reject negative theology. That is clear in Maimonides in chapter 68, 69, section 1, where he says God's essence is his knowledge. So God thinks a thought, and that thought creates a thought. There's a sort of like a chain reaction of thoughts. And these thoughts actually evolve and eventually end up in what's called the active intellect. And in fact, actually, that ends up creating the world, because the Rambam understood the outer spheres of the world, celestial spheres, were actually thinking, intelligent objects. So in other words, we could say that based upon this, you know, the Mir Nevuchim, right, that basically the Kodesh Baruch Hu is just continually thinking. In fact, in the Rambam, in prophecy, Nevuah, we haven't spoken about Nevuah here on the internet, but the fact actually what a Navi does, according to Rambam, Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks thoughts, and a Navi is like an antenna, and he picks up these thoughts. His mind connects with the active intellect. That's what Nevuah is, according to the Rambam. I think on shkafacircle.com, in Rishima magazine, in an article on Tefillah in the Rambam, then in theology, I speak about that. That Tefillah is also, in a certain sense, a type of, you're connected to the thoughts of God through Nevuah. But in any case, what I want to say is that, so in other words, in Chazal, and both in, of course, this is the thought of the Beir HaNevuchim, the Rambam is pre-Kabbalah. It's not, I'm not claiming the Rambam is a Mekubal, at least, understandably. Like the Leshem says, the Rambam is before the Tzimtzum. But nonetheless, we have a concept of a Kodesh Baruch Hu thinking, God thinking. So the fact is that when the Goyim says that Chochma and Bina, or like the Zohar says, Abba v'Ima, Kachad HaNafkin, Kachad HaShalya, and that this is in fact actually a generation of spirituality on the highest level, the Goyim is actually, clearly, means to say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is thinking, he's learning Torah, he's creating Chochma, and that's the Zivik on the higher level. Now, the question is, right, we've explained the Gra, but where does man fit into this? Where does man fit into this? Okay, that's going to be the next thing. Now, first of all, what I want to do is, based upon the Gra, I want to point out a very interesting thing. We've been speaking about the notion of Rishimo. Okay, that the Rishimo certainly does not appear in the Rav Chaim Vital. Okay, there is a Ksavyad, perhaps, of that the Shabbos Sasson brings, but in the main works, Chaim Vital doesn't appear. We saw the Balatanya, he attributed it to be a Gilui. You know, it was first revealed or made public by the Marisuk. And we spoke about that, in fact, actually, Rishimo is a type of primal ontology. So, for example, which means that the Kabbalah is coming to speak about something, coming to describe the world. So, for example, in the Ramchal, certainly in the Das Tvunais, where the Kabbalah is coming to describe Kodesh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga, the way he directs the world. So the Rishimo, according to the Ramchal, if you look in the Sefer Klolim that appears in Chaim Friedland's edition, the Rishimo is basically the possibilities of Hanhagas in the world. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Kav comes to pick out one Hanhaga, right, and to you know, to use that to reveal that in history. So the Rishimo is like the set total of Hanhaga, the different ways in which a Kodesh Baruch Hu can guide history, guide the world. And so the Rishimo represents a certain type of ontology for Chassidus. The Rishimo represents the spiritual content of the physical world, the Shemus Hashem. The Shemesh, or the Tevas of the Psukim of Bria and Bereishis. So therefore, every item in the physical world is called by a Shem in Lashon HaKodesh. And because of this, we spoke about in the Balatanya, in the Besht, that basically the Rishimu is basically the spiritual ontology, which in fact is the content of the physical world. Okay, now, What is the Rishimu of the Gaon? We've spoken about Torah, but I want to go into actually more detail into this. It's very, very interesting, right, that the Gaon does speak about Rishimu. In the Asar Klolim, the Gaon speaks about Rishimu, but actually, if you look where he speaks about Rishimu, which is in Dalit, Perek Dalit of the Asar Klolim, those of you who have gone through the Shiurim, the Rishimu is a Shimu that actually begins after the Gilui of Chachma. In other words, according to the Gaon, every world, every level of spiritual hierarchy there's a Hispashtus and Histalkos. Things spread out and things contract. There's expansion and contraction. So in other words, at every level of Chachma, Bina, Das, so the Gaon says, Chachma reveals itself, contracts, and then you're left with the Rishimu. So there's an ontology, right? In the Psukim, there's the ontology of the drushes, the yukim, how we learn from the Psukim. In science, there's an ontology, I guess the basic laws of nature, maybe the Higgs particle. In other words, there's a ontology in Chokhmah, ontology in Bina, etc., etc. I noticed, however, that the Gaon in the Asar Klolim does not speak about a Rishimu when he speaks about higher than Chokhmah. Now we know higher than Chokhmah, there's Kesel, there's Aptik, there are things that are higher than Chokhmah. What, when we go higher than Chokhmah, what is the Rishimu? Because obviously the Rishimu is speaking about the first Rishimu after the Tzimtzum. What is higher than Chokhmah? Now, lo and behold, the Gaon speaks about this in the Tikkunim and the Zohar Chadash. Okay? Now, you shouldn't think that I'm such a bucky in the Gaon. I actually came to this Zohar Chadash, this Gaon from the Lashon. The Lashon points it, but I'm going to a little bit, I mean, the Lashon is a good point here, but I'm going to take issue with the Lashon. Okay, now, in the Kunei Mizoya Chodosh, which is the standard edition, which is in Daf Nun, so there, the Kunei of the Zoya Chodosh speak about something which is called the Tihiru, not Rishimu, but Tihiru. There's this Rishimu and this Tihiru. Tes, Tet, Hey, Yud, Resh, Vav. Now, what is this Tihiru? The Gaon says, Tihiru is Bo'or Ha'elyon, in the highest light. Now this is actually Daf Nun, and actually there's two, in other words, the Zoya Chadash is, there's actually two columns in Daf Nun. So this is Nun Amud Aleph. Okay? It's the first column, the right-hand side. Says the Gaon, Bo'or Elyon Shu B'Soy HaTzimtzum, I guess this is beside Hatzimson. Shesham Meo or Ainsoy. There's a Ha'ala of the Or of the Ainsoy. The Taikava Or Sha'ain Lamaila Mimeno. Nim Shalatzarayim Shu Tilgum Tiro. In other words, right? In other words, the strongest light which radiates, right? And that's called Tihiro. Vishamu Ika Shega Sha'or. And that's the Shega Sha'or. The Ki Or Hu Dava Shemeya. Me'acha or Hashemesh v'yetzi boi. Aval dov ha'meira enikro or l'chein shema or v'hu avir hakad boi. That's called the avir hakad boi. Kadnafik yud min menu. Yud comes out, like it says in the Zohar Tikkun. Now, it's interesting. It sounds like the Rishimu, because it seems to be after the Tzimtzum. But it's not an imprint. The or, the light, which contracted, continues to shine, to illuminate. In other words, is that an imprint? It's an illumination from the highest light. Now, what's the difference between Rishimu and Tihiru, the way I understand it in the Gaon? And actually, I'm going to say this chiluk, but actually the chiluk is actually, Lashon makes this chiluk too. The difference is the following difference. Erishimu is a substance. It's an ontology. It's a reality. Tehillu is an act. It's an emergence. It's a constant emergence. In other words, after the Tzimtzum, there's not a substance, but there's an activity that comes somehow from the Ora Elyon and illuminates and radiates. Now, yeah.
Not an activity.
What?
It's not an activity, it's an object.
No, it's an illumination. I understand it's, I understand that what it is Dovah Shemeya. It's shining. In other words, it's not a being, it's a becoming. In other words, the Rishimu is a being. It's a substance.
Rishimu is a being.
Is a being.
Right, Rishimu is a
substance. But Tehillu
is an emission.
Is a becoming. It's an emergence.
I'm not going to start dying.
Right. So now, what's interesting is, in the Leshem, who always gets it right, but here, a little bit, no. What he says is correct. The Leshem in the Biurim. So I'm referring to in Zayin and Medalid. So first of all, he speaks about the Rishim. He says that in the Shem and Sason is one of the important mafarshim of the Ari, the Zaksaviad of the Avraham Vital, he speaks about Rishim. But then he says, he's like, his mind that there is a Rishima, but he doesn't speak about it. But he says, V'yaisin nira v'hua ikka. Right? V'hua ikka. Kinei hagam sheh me'ha'or harishin mamish. Since, he says, even though that something was left from the or, like a Rishima, in kol zeh, gam achi she'olav v'nastaleh, kinei nim she'charosu menu tamid. There was even after the first light was contracted, there was still a shining, an illumination that came from it. Umeir, b'hatzimtzim or godol, became a true oimit son of the color, because since the light is so close to it, so it's going to illuminate it. And then he brings the raya, and then he brings, v'chein kosov agor, v'soif tikud ezei achadosh daf nun, from an aleph. Right? And Tio is or elyon, he quotes the gor, etc., etc. Now, what I disagree, that was the Leshem, is actually, he's asserting that there's two things. He says, Avadin is a Rishimu, because he brings this Ksav Yad of Chambita, which is brought by the Shem and Sason. But it says, V'yaisen nirav hu'aika, that there's actually an illumination. Now, the fact is, Rishimu does not appear in the Gra'a in Tikkuni Zohar. So, the Leshem is, I think, I don't want to say, I shouldn't say it's Chassidish, it's Chas V'Shalom. But what I want to say is, the Gra understands, the Gra's quote-unquote Rishimu is really a Tehillu, which was actually a becoming, it's not a being. It's a becoming and not a being. Why is that true? For a very simple reason. Because, what's interesting is that For the Gra says, goes on, and says, history enough is that even higher than Chokhmah is what's called Rotzah. We know that Kesser, the worlds above wisdom, are called worlds of Rotzah, of will. But why is it an activity? Why is it an activity? So what I want to do is, I want to actually, in fact, go back to the Meir Levuchim, to the Rambam, and explain what I think they're going to say. We've spoken about when we learned the God for Perplex, the Meir Levuchim, but of course the Rambam says clearly we cannot in any way ascribe any act or description of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Rambam's negative theology. But we asked a contradiction. I would call it a famous contradiction, but I don't believe that I'm the only one who actually asked the contradiction. That the Rambam says clearly in chapter 68-69 that God's essence is his knowledge, God's essence is his intellect, God's essence is his will. I mean, if you can't describe God's essence is hidden from us, that's the tenet of the Rambam, how can you call God's essence, how can you speak God's essence as being his knowledge and his wisdom? That's what we spoke of, the question. Now, what was the answer we gave? The answer we gave is that it's man. What's God's essence, when we speak about that, when we say that God's essence is wisdom, it's just another way of saying that man thinks, right? In a similar manner, like the Rambam says explicitly, man actively thinks the way God thinks. The difference between man's intellectual apprehension and God, says the Rambam in the Moed Levuchim, is that the man sometimes is sleeping and not thinking, but God is always thinking. In other words, the Rambam says clearly that God is always apprehending things. In fact, not only is he apprehending things, but in God, in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as object. It's all activity. But the Rambam says in chapter 68, as known from the philosophers, and he mentions this in Perek Hei Hilchos Teshuva, then God's knowledge, God the knower, the object, the thing known, and the act of knowledge are one and the same. In other words, when we get to the essence of God, it's pure activity, and this activity is reflected in man's activity of thinking. In other words, this is the reciprocity, the mirror image, which I think we made famous in the Shulam, what?
In the Rishim article.
In the Rishim article, right. We spoke about the Rishim article too. Oh, so now what I want to claim is the following thing. By the way, Derech Agav, I wanted to say, I saw it actually, someone asked me, the Pshat and Mendelssohn's Libira on Shmoy's Ekya She'ekya. Because Brooklyn says Ekya She'ekya. What does that mean? Because Brooklyn's speaking about himself. Continually, it's because Brooklyn says himself, Ekya She'ekya is a continual process. And Mendelssohn there mentions the knower, the known, and the act of knowledge. In other words, basically, the highest point the person can get is a becoming, which a becoming ascribed to God, which actually ultimately is a description of man's becoming too. That I said in the Rambam. I want to claim this is ultimately what the Gaon is saying. What the Gaon is saying is the ultimate ontology, the Gaon's quote unquote Rishimu, is really the Tehillah. What is the Tehillah? It's an oscillation of light. There's a contraction, but like it's a continual flickering, a continual shining, an illumination. That's the Tehillah. And that's activity, that's a becoming. And this becoming is ultimately, right, the highest level, but the highest level of ontology that a person can actually ascribe to. Now, if we go with what I said in the Rambam, that we're identifying God's activity with man's activity, very good. That's what's meant to say, Yisrael, v'yaraisa v'kutcha v'lichachadu. God learns Torah, and man learns Torah. In other words, the ultimate activity is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an activity of learning Torah. That's the ultimate revelation. And this is expressed in the fact that man learns Torah at the same time too. And the man's, that like, and then we continue with the Gemara and Gittin, Vav Amud Beis, because he asked him, I think Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Yossi asked him, what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu learning? And what was the answer? The answer is, Kodesh Baruch Hu is repeating over what the Moim was saying. Which means that at the highest level, God's activity of learning is actually a reflection of man's activity in learning. That Yisrael Kutcha B'richa V'chadal Hu D'Raisa. So we get to the highest level, this is the generation of Chachma, which even though Kodesh Baruch Hu was doing generating Chachma, ultimately, man imitates God in the same level. So in other words, what I'm saying is that according to the Goyim, the highest level of ontology is an act of becoming, which more specifically is an act of generating wisdom. It's an act of limud ha-Torah, and it's an act that man and God share equally when man is actively involved. That's the Shita Sador. So it's very, very good. That's why. So in a certain sense, the Goyim, what has the Goyim done? The Goyim agrees with Yari that becoming is higher than being. But the Goyim, what the Goyim has introduced, is that there's a becoming higher than a becoming. There's a becoming of mitzvahs, and there's a becoming of Torah. So basically what we have is a three tiers. The Zivug, the spiritual generation of Chachma Bina Yavri, maintains the existence of the world, the natural world, the spiritual world, too. Man does a mitzvah and generates spirituality on a higher level. That's the mishav of the mitzvah. The Goyim takes this three-tiered system and brings it a step further, higher. God is learning Torah. When man, this Torah, now the chokmah which reveals to man is a being that is a chokmah that man also studies. But when man studies, there was the being, the chokmah produced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, actually is a result of God's learning, which also comes back as a result of man's learning too. That's what the Gemara says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning what the Baraim was studying. Namely, that the Goyim also agrees that becoming is on a higher level. But the becoming of studying, of limud ha-Torah, of learning, the Ari is speaking about the becoming of the mitzvahs, the performance of the mitzvah. The Goyim says there's a mitzvah which is distinct from the other mitzvahs. That's the mitzvah of limud ha-Torah. That's a becoming of wisdom, but that's also a becoming that reaches its highest spiritual heights precisely because man is capable of doing it. Man is ultimately the person who learns Torah, and a kind of Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, repeats after man. That's the Shitas HaGoyim. Okay, very good. Yeah, so in other words, the Goyim and the Ari, ultimately, what I want to say, have, in a certain sense, the same metaphysical ontological structure. Is that the Goyim, though, introduces a new activity of becoming, which is study, limud ha-Torah. It's an act that, in fact, actually, ontologically, reaches higher, at least higher metaphysically, than that of other mitzvahs. It reaches its lower level in God's study of the Torah, and man basically takes this chokmah, which Karbal creates, learns it, and then generates an activity which is equivalent, which is kiviyachol on the highest level, not less than that of Kodesh Baruch Hu's learning itself. That's actually Yisrael ve'Raisa v'Jabrucha Chadol. So we see here in the Goyim his ontology. Now, what I disagree, and I'm saying this very, very with trepidation, Leshem claims is a Rishimu too. The Goyim doesn't mention the Rishimu. It is a Rishimu of the Goyim. It comes not after the Tzimtzum. It comes after the expansion and contraction of a lower level, which is Chachma, wisdom, or Bina, understanding. But the higher level is the Tehillu of the Goyim, which is an activity, a becoming. And ultimately, that's the act of limud ha-Torah, which man and God share in common. That, in my opinion, is the shita of the Goyim. Okay? Okay. And moreover, I want to claim that this concept of the Goyim is rooted in the Rambam, in Maimonides. In other words, in the Meir Nevuchim, where the Rambam also understands the ultimate ontological level, right, as God's wisdom, which itself is equivalent to man's intellectual apprehension. In other words, man intellectually apprehends as God intellectually apprehends. That's the highest level that a person can strive for, right? Within the Maimonidean, you know, ontology and metaphysics. That's what I think it is. So in other words, we see here clearly, as the Lashem says, the Maya Nevilchim is before the Tzimtzum, right? And the Goyin is actually the Maya Nevilchim after the Tzimtzum. Basically, what the Goyin has done is he's taken a pre-Ari rationalist Maimonidean philosophy, and he's converted it into a metaphysical, spiritual hierarchy based upon the Zoya and the Ari, but he's given it what's called Kabbalistic content. That's what I'm going to claim is the sheet of the Goy. Okay? Okay, very good. Now, I just want to mention an interesting thing is that the Lashem in when he speaks about the Tzimtzum, so there's an attack on the Ramchal. I mean, he attacks Ramchal all over the place in the Lashem, but in particular in Dav Gimel Amidala, the Lashem says that all the Tzimtzum we have to understand it. We can't really understand the Tzimtzum, the Lashem. We can't really understand it. He says, "Ein elo devarim she'ein lemasag l'shem b'riya." No one can really understand these things. We have to understand the kipshutai, right? Right? We can only understand what it is. We can only learn it, right? And we can't say it's a mashal, right? Because the person says it's a mashal, he's machish kol chachmas kabbalah chas v'shalom. V'roi l'sraim aleim ha'beisem. We should really attack this, right? Mimash yisramu kama kidoshi elyon alachoykim shayitzi kama, right? Etc. Etc. And he's attacking those people who learned the Kabbalah as a marshal to a nimshal.
He does not mention Ramchal.
He doesn't mention it by name, but in fact, in my lesson on the Gilgamesh margin, I refer to Ayin Seif HaDeya, Nun Zayin Amud Dalet, right? I think it's Nun Zayin Amud Dalet. And there he actually mentions the Ramchal by name. It speaks about the marshal and nimshal, right? In other words, the Lashem is, in fact, actually attacking the Ramchal. Now, what allows the Kabbalah to have a Mashal and a Nimshal? It seems to be the Rishimu. Where does the Ramchal's Mashal and Nimshal understand the Kabbalah? Where does it derive from? It derives from the Rishimu. The Rishimu is Hanhagen. In other words, to say that the Kabbalah has a nimshal means the Kabbalah is referring to something in the world. Kabbalah is a spiritual system which is referring to something in the world. What's the referent? The referent, right, is the Rishimu. So, for example, in the Ramchal, the Rishimu is the Hanhaga, the set of Hanhaga. The Rishimu of the Ramchal, the first time Hanhaga really comes out of the Ramchal of the Kaddish is the Rishimu. The Rishimu is all the possibilities of a Hagah, of historical direction of history. And the Kav and everything is just coming to, you know, to reveal it or to pick out which Hagah is, you know, is apropos at that time, etc., etc. To hide it, to reveal it, etc., etc. The Rishimu.
Where is that Ramchal?
It's in the Klol. Look at the Klol in the very beginning of the Rishimu. The Ramchal calls Rishimu on Hagah. And that makes sense. The Rishimu represents the ultimate reality to which the entire Ilan HaKadosh is referring to. So, for example, in the Hasidim, right, what's the Rishimu? What in fact, actually, you know, I'll say this is Mashal Nimshal, but what is it? It's the physical world. The Kabbalah is speaking about the spiritual content of the physical world. When I do a mitzvah, everything in the physical world reveals spirituality. The Kabbalah is about man doing mitzvahs for the Baal HaTanya, for the Hasidim. Because what happens metaphysically when I do a mitzvah, it's a revealed spiritual content of the world.
Which is the Pashut understanding of the Ari.
Right, the Rishimu, whatever it is. But the Rishimu, the Rishimu is the Isis of the batch which filled up the world. I would say, no. Because the Ari doesn't have a Rishimu.
But it's the lower, it's, I mean, So that's the higher thing that's keeping the world going. The higher is keeping the world going. Is that not?
No. But no. But in the Ari was speaking about acts and mitzvahs. But that's true. But no, I yudel when I do mitzvahs. But what is the reshima is what connects me to the world.
Mm-hmm.
The reshima is what connects me to the world. The Beis says when I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm very spiritual in the world. So therefore, it doesn't have to be a mitzvah necessarily. I could be eating something. Now, so in other words, my question is, what the Lashem says, we can't understand these things, right? They're just oires, they're just lights. They're, you know, names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But to say there's a Rishimu, and also too, the symptoms of Kipshuta, says the Lashem. What makes it symptom to like Kipshuta? There's a Rishimu. When I say that symptom is a revelation, the symptom is just a revealing. Kodesh Baruch Hu hides himself. So what am I saying? I'm saying there's a Rishimu. The Lashem is harping that you can't have a Marshal. And why can't you have a Marshal? So it goes back, because the symptom is understood Kipshutai. If you say sin is not Kipshutai, so therefore, we're just hiding something. There's a Marshal and a Nimshal. There's a world that's being hidden. God hides in the world. But in other words, if you look at the with Lashem writes with Daf Gimel with Beis until Daf Gimel with Dalet, he begins with attacking people who understand some Solo Kipshuta, it's Chas V'Shalom. You understand the things Kipshuta. And then he ends up with attacking Ramchal by Marshal and Nimshal. I claim the two concepts are related. Because to say there's a Marshal and Nimshal, same thing as a Rishima. Because the Marshal and Nimshal just means that God is going to hide them. Things are really the way they are. God hides himself. So there's a world, a reality of the world that God hides. So there's a relationship of God to the world. So in other words, Marshal and Nimshal and the Rishima have the same thing. Why can I say that Simpson, in other words, why can I say, in other words, that Simpson Kipshuta means not Rishima? There's a contraction. In other words, I can't understand the Simpson because I learned a Kipshuta, there's a contraction. But if there's a Rishima, the Rishima is history, the Rishima is the physical world. So I can understand the ship Simpson in my own ontological terms. If you look at the Lashon from Daf Gimel Amud Bet to Daf Dalet, Gimel Amud Dalet, that's what connects the argument. His attack on the Ramchal is basically the ultimate attack of Moshe Nimshel, and because it's a consequence of the attack that the Tzimtzum has been learned the Lo Kipshuta, which means the Rishima. So I have a question, Rabbeinu HaLashon. If that's true, so why in Daf Zayin Amud Bet do you say there's a Rishima? But it's very dark, he says. Very dark. Maybe very dark. Either you might have mixed us or not. But I want to claim that in the going, there's no Rishima in the first Simpson. There's only Tehillim. There's no Rishima. And when you said, right? When you said, right? When the Leshem says, V'yaisen nira v'hu ikar, you didn't have to keep the Rishima. You don't have to keep the Rishima. You could have done away with the Rishima. Because ultimately in the going there's no Rishima. There's only an activity which doesn't have a substance, right? Is purely, can be translated into human activity of learning, of generating knowledge. And therefore, like the Lashem says, there's no Moshe, there's no Nimshel. It's merely an act of Levi Atena. Anyway, that's my ha'ara on the lesson. Okay? In any case, with this, I think we will conclude the shiur on the history of philosophy of the Kabbalah.
The series of shiur.
And I think the series of shiur will also come to a conclusion too, with a good Lithuanian conclusion. Because, there's a lot more to say. I can say we've only begun. But in any case, there is something called Ben Azmanin. And I wish everybody a lot of hatzlacha. I look forward to hearing comments and
feedback,
critiques. But in any case, from the undisclosed place...
Send us an email with any questions or answers or
ha'ares. I appreciate
if you're listening to it, what you're
listening to it, ha'ares, kashas, stilas, right? Someone has been sending me wonderful questions and I'm had to rethink all the shiurim myself. Baruch Hashem.
It's important.
That means that shiurim are an activity. They're not a being. They're becoming. Can you email life imitates art.
Email admin at hashkafacircle.com.
Email what?
Admin.
Admin?
At hashkafacircle.com.
Okay, in any case, for the unenclosed place, you shall call Tov.